माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुन तीरा वनचारी जमुन तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नष्टप्रायेषु बन्धेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो 12th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 7 टेक्स्ट 6 किं ते कामाः सुरास्पार्हाः मुकुंद मनसो द्विजाः आदिजग्रुर्मुदं राज्ञः क्षुतितस्य यथेतरे किं ते कामाः सुरस्पार्हा मुकुंद मनसो द्विजाः आदिजग्रुर्मुदं राज्ञः क्षुतितस्य यथेतरे किं ते कामाः सुरस्पार्हा मुकुंद मनसो द्विजाः आदिजग्रुर्मुदं राज्ञः क्षुतितस्य यथेतरे
Yeah.
Matariz. Kim, what for? Te, all those. Kamaha, objects of sense enjoyment. Sura, of the denizens of heaven. Sparhaha, aspirations. Mukunda manasaha, of one who is already God conscious. Dvijaha, O Brahmanas, Adi Jagruhu could satisfy. Mudam, pleasure. Rajnyaha, of the king. Shruti Tasya, of the hungry. Yatha, as it is. Ithare, in other things. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Brahmanas, the opulence of a king was so enchanting that the denizens of heaven aspired for it. But because he was absorbed in the service of the Lord, nothing could satisfy him except the Lord's service. Purport. These two things in the world which can satisfy living beings. There are two things in the world which can satisfy living beings. When one is materially engrossed, he is satisfied only by sense gratification. But when one is liberated from the condition of the material modes, he is satisfied only by rendering loving service for the satisfaction of the Lord. This means that the living being is constitutionally a servitor, not one who is served. Being illusioned by the conditions of the external energy, one falsely thinks himself to be the served, but actually he is not served. He is servant of the senses like lust, desire, anger, avarice, pride, madness and intolerance. When one is in his proper senses by attainment of spiritual knowledge, he realizes that he is not the master of the material world, but is only a servant of the senses. At that time, he begs for the service of the Lord and thus becomes happy without being illusioned by so-called material happiness. Maharaj Yudhishthir was one of the liberated souls, and therefore for him there was no pleasure in vast kingdom, good wife, obedient brothers, happy subjects and prosperous world. These blessings automatically follow for a pure devotee, even though the devotee does not aspire for them. The example set herein is exactly suitable. It is said that one who is hungry is never satisfied by anything other than food. The whole material world is full of hungry living beings. The hunger is not for good food, shelter or sense gratification. The hunger is for the spiritual atmosphere. Due to ignorance only, they think that the world is dissatisfied because there is no sufficient food, shelter, defense and objects of sense gratification. This is called illusion. When the living being is hungry for spiritual satisfaction, he is misrepresented by material hunger. But the foolish leaders cannot see that even the people who are most sumptuously materially satisfied are still hungry. And what is their hunger and poverty? This hunger is actually for spiritual food, spiritual shelter, spiritual defense, and spiritual sense gratification. This can be obtained in the association of Supreme Spirit, Lord Shri Krishna. And therefore, one who has them cannot be attracted by the so-called food, shelter, defense and sense gratification of the material world. Even if they are relished by the denizens of the heavenly planets. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 16th verse, it is said by the Lord that even in the topmost planet of the universe, namely the Brahma Loka, wherein the duration of life is multiplied by millions of years by earthly calculation, one cannot satisfy his hunger. Such hunger can be satisfied only when the living being is situated in immortality, which is attained only in the spiritual sky, far above the Brahma Loka, in the association of Mukunda. The Lord who awards his devotees the transcendental pleasure of liberation. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurudmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Gunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Mitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Kimte Kamasras Sparha Mukunta Manaso Dijaha Adijagrur Mudam Ragnyaha Kshutitasya Yathatare. O Brahmanas, the opulence of the king was so enchanting that the denizens of heaven aspired for it. But because he was absorbed in the service of the Lord, nothing could satisfy him except the Lord's service. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 12. Birth of Emperor Parikshit. So the text 5, which went, Sampatak Kritavo Lokaha Mahishi Bhrataro Mahi Jambudvipati Patyamcha Yashascha Tridivam Gatam Kimte Kama. So these two verses are connected together, speaking a particular topic. In this particular shloka, beautifully the lineage of Maharaj Parikshit is glorified, especially Yudhishthir Maharaj. So that is combined with both opulence as well as Vairagya of Yudhishthir Maharaj. So two things in Sanatana Dharma, Jnana and Vairagya. Among Jnana and Vairagya, which is better? Commonly, Jnana is glorified a lot. In fact, in the higher point of view, Bhakti is greater than these two. But Jnana and Vairagya are the servants of the Bhakti. And Jnana and Vairagya is a byproduct of Bhakti. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Cheta Haitukam. Nevertheless, more than Jnana, Vairagya is glorified. Why? Because Vairagya is considered as a realization of Jnana. That's why we see when there is renounced order of the Varnashram, the renounced order of devotees are there, they are given more importance than the learned scholar. So we see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he was speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vedanta, he would make Mahaprabhu sit on the Vyasasana and he would himself sit down. Even though by age-wise and knowledge-wise, he thought he is superior. But the Vairagya is given importance. Why? Because the Vairagya is considered as a fruit of knowledge. And a person understands what is what, then it develops detachment. So one is knowing, another is realizing. So first is knowledge, then comes realization. So a sannyasi or a vairagi is considered to be a person who realizes the aspect of knowledge which is, speaks about the futility of this material world. And because of that understanding, he develops renunciation. The renunciation is born out of the realization of the knowledge. So that's why it is considered higher than the knowledge. So such devotees or a personality who developed Vairagya is considered more respectable than a person who understands things. When the realization matures, then he takes to devotional service. So in this chapter, the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj and his lineage, especially in this verse, Yudhishthir Maharaj's glory has been spoken, that he is simultaneously having all the opulences which are even aspired by the demigods. But still, in spite of that, he developed quality of renunciation. So that is the greatness of Yudhishthir Maharaj. So I seek blessings of the devotees that speak on such a realized personality who has both Jnana and Vairagya, which is far beyond our ordinary mind to appreciate and fathom. But nevertheless, with the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, Parapurusha and the Acharyas, we'll see something from this. This is a beautiful verse by its own nature. It is asked as a question format. Kim te kamaha suraspraha. Generally, kama refers to desire. But here the word kama refers to the objects of the desire. There is a beauty. Your word can elongate itself to give the meaning more than what it is commonly known. So kamaha refers to the objects of desire. Suras sparhaha. So suras sparha is also again the what kind of object of desire? Suras parhaha, that which has been even wanted by the demigods. So that kama, which are the objects of desire, object of sense gratification, which are even wanted by the demigods. What are they? Then we refer to the previous verse which Balaram Shakti beautifully spoke yesterday. Sampadaha Kritavo Lokaha Mahishi Bhrataro Mahi. What are they? Mahishi, the Kritavaha for sacrifices. So opulences and sacrifice. Lokaha. Mahishi, the queens, Bhrataraha, the brothers, Mahi, the earth itself, Jambudvipa, the globe or planet of our residence, Adipatyam, sovereignty, Yashaha, fame, Tridivam, celestial planets, Gatam, spread. His fame spread over all the three celestial planets. So these are the opulences which are Kamaha, Suras, Parhaha. These are the things which are desired by the demigods. So, here, the shloka mentions about both the opulence and the means by which these opulences are obtained. What are the opulences? Mahi, the whole planet. Of that, the whole, the seven planetary system, Saptadvipa Pati Mahi, we say. And Jambudvipa is specifically mentioned here because of its uniqueness, that it offers a platform by which we can perform our karma. This is called as karma bhumi. In other places, they only enjoy or they utilize their pious credit. But in Jambudvipa, there's a great place that we can actually even increase our pious deeds more. So that is quoted. And this Yudhishthir Maharaj is actually a fit person who is going to descend to the heaven. By what means? By the Kritava. Kritava means the sacrifices. So in this description of the opulence of Yudhishthir Maharaj, two things are mentioned. One is his opulences which he has right now in his hand. And also the future opulence he is going to get through the means of Kritavaha, mean his sacrifices. So, Bhoga, Bhoga, Upakarana. So both are mentioned, that the opulence is what he has right now, the sovereign rule over all the planetary systems, the queens and his brothers, but also he has in his credit all the sacrifice he has performed by which he is going to ascend to the heaven. Such are the opulences. And this is even been envied by the demigods. Why? Because he has a brother who is Arjuna, who even fought with, who has even owned Indra in battle. Or sometime Indra calls Arjuna to fight with the demons whom he could not even defeat. Such are the opulences. So after explaining and listing all the opulences, there is a question asked, Kim, these opulences, Adijagruhur Mutam Ragyaha. So this is a question is put forward. After telling all these things, the speaker is saying to the sages that, do you think these opulences going to give him pleasure? The question is stopped, that's all. There is no answer is given. But in translation, Prabhupada gives answer. So as Gopi Purananda Prabhu says, that in Prabhupada translation, Prabhupada writes purports also. And in purport, something he brings translation which he did not translate in the shloka also. So that's why it is very sweet and unique that just like a child cannot eat all, you know, rabdi or Mysore pak and all heavy sweets. What mother does, she takes all those food and through the milk she gives the child, through her breast milk, she feeds the child all this opulent food so that the child can digest, you know. So, here the verse is going like that. Kim te kamaha. Kamaha means what we say, objects of sense gratification, objects which are desired even by the demigods. What are they? This all the list of opulences. Kim adijagraho ragyaha mudam. Can this satisfy Yudhishthir Maharaj? That's all finished. And what is understandable things? Of course, this is not going to distract him. This is not going to satisfy him. So that is the answer, but the answer is not evident. Just like if we say, you know, like our Madan Gopal Prabhu is here, if we say that, do you think that the opulent pizza from the Govinda restaurant satisfy him? Obviously, everybody knows he is not going to be attracted by that at all. So there is no need of giving the answer. The question itself is sufficient. So here, the matured devotee is speaking and the matured audience are hearing the talk. And between them, they understand who is Yudhishthir Maharaj. So there is no need to... such things, do you think that's going to satisfy him? That is sufficient that the person understand the answer. But Srila Prabhupada is presenting this book to the audience who are, you know, his target is, you know, huge spectrum. And nowadays in social media and all, you know, people take things out of context. If somebody says, you know, if some devotee says, you know, I am not very much, you know, enthusiastic in performing spiritual duties, then the media may say that, oh, this person is fallen to some women or some, you know, fallen to some sense gratification, like that, the media will, because they are looking to find fault. You know, such kind of, you know, anything you say, they try to find fault. You know, they are very careful there to address all these people. So here, if Prabhupada have to write the translation, you know, do you think that Yudhishthira Maharaj is going to be attracted by this? Affluences. Somebody may think that, oh, maybe he might get attracted also. That's why the question mark is there. So, in order to not give any kind of doubt, Srila Prabhupada directly says that in translation it says that nothing could satisfy him except the Lord. So, he gives the conclusion itself directly. So, that is the beauty of the translation. Technically, somebody may say, why it is not there? How he is putting? So, that is the prerogative a great acharya can do. He understands the spirit, he understands the mood, understands the heart of the author. He can present the conclusions and the spirit of the speaker, taking liberty in the translation. So, of course, Gopi Parinandana Prabhu said that Prabhupada's an acharya, he can do that. But he said, when I translate, I stick to the, you know, exact translation because I cannot imitate Srila Prabhupada. So here, when I read this verse, I remembered that experience with Gopi Parinandana Prabhu. So, here is such amazing. So, when you see the verse that is he going to attract it to all these opulences? And how the answer is there in the verse without apparently the answer is not there in the verse. How the answer we can derive? The reason is given. Mukunda manaso dvijaha. So why? His mind is fully occupied with Mukunda. Who is Mukunda? Mukti Pradata Mukunda. Krishna. So because his mind is occupied with Krishna's thoughts, Krishna Seva. Mukunda Seva. Automatically, do you think that he is going to be attracted to all these lower pleasures? Lower kind of... sense gratification? Obviously not. So, by the word, choosing of the word Mukunda, who can liberate the living entities from the clutches of material sense gratification, without saying, Yudhishthira Maharaj is he going to be attracted to such things, you know. So, he, in this way, as a king, Yudhishthira Maharaj is taken the responsibility. So, here, simultaneously, Vairagya is given, Vairagya is spoken, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Vairagya is spoken. At the same time, Yudhishthira Maharaj as a king, he has to rule the kingdom, he has to accept all those opulences as a matter of duty. So, here the Vairagya of all these bhoga bhoga upakaranas are not in the sense of them as a sadhana or instrument. These are the bhoga. He has to sit on the royal throne. He has to accept the chamara. He has to accept. You cannot say that I am not interested in this. I don't have a taste for this country, so I will go to the forest. No, he didn't relinquish all of them. So where is the vairagya is given here? The vairagya is in the enjoyment, but not in accepting the opulences which have come by the will of providence, or in the higher sense by the mercy of Krishna. So. Our acharyas explain, the Vallabhacharya explains that here the Vairagya refers to his gratifying them for his own pleasure. It's not referring to that. But what the Vairagya refers? The Vairagya refers to enjoying those opulences for his pleasure. So that is a Vairagya, but not relinquishing the responsibility. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, even though he performed Rajasuya sacrifice, accepting all the opulences and all the prizes and all those things, but did not have any attraction for them to enjoy them for his own sensual pleasure. That is a key point. So, just like we hear Bharata, the brother of Sri Ramachandra Prabhu Dasharati Rama, that he accepted the responsibility of the kingdom, but he did not utilize them for his own sense gratification or sense enjoyment. So, Vairagya is in the enjoyment, relinquishing the enjoyment, but not accepting the responsibility. So, such a Vairagya Yudhishthira Maharaj is exhibiting here, and he has been glorified here, that whether these things are going to attract him. And this Vairagya is possible only through the attachment towards the lotus feet of Mukunda or Krishna. So, since Yudhishthira Maharaj is attracted to the Mukunda Manaso Dvijaha, that he is not at all attracted to towards the material opulences. Just like the example given in the verse, Kshutitasya Yathetare. This particular thing is not there in the translation. But again, Prabhupada gives this understanding in the purport. If you read here, the purport Srila Prabhupada said, then the example set herein is exactly suitable. So if you try to search for the example, the translation, the example is not there. But in the shloka, the example is there. What is that? Kshutitasya yathatare. Just like the hungry person is so hungry. And in front of the hungry person, you bring so many other opulent things. Like you bring good, nice music, which he likes to hear. You bring nice movie, which he likes to see. But if he's so hungry, really hungry, these things cannot take his attention. He just wants to eat some food. So similarly, all these opulences are there in front of Yudhishthira Maharaj, but he's not at all bothered about it. So that example, Prabhupada says that this is a beautiful example. What is the example? A hungry person is not interested in anything other than food to be eaten. That this whole focus is in that. So what is the food for Yudhishthira Maharaj? Yudhishthira Maharaj is like a hungry person. Hungry for what? Mukunda Seva. He is absorbed in serving Mukunda, seeing darshan of Mukunda, and satisfying the senses of Mukunda. So because of that, these things are for him like things which are attracted to others. For a hungry person, these things are not attractive other than food. So, food for Yudhishthira Maharaj is these things. So, in the verse it is say, yatha itare. Itare means other things. So, now in the shloka, the itare is not directly mentioned. The hungry person is attracted towards food, not towards anything else. So, anything else means what? So, it is better that the verse says anything else, because it varies time to time. In those ages, the acharyas writes in the writing, what is itare means? The hungry person is attracted only to the food, not to anything else. What is there anything else? So acharya says it refers to shrak chandanadi, beautiful garland and sandalwood paste. So in those ages, that is considered as opulence, mahagarland. So, and now, shrak chandanadi, the commentator writes, itara means shruk and chandan, the garland and chandan. And he also put adi over there, etc. And what is the adi? The commentator, he writes, the adi refers to meena vadyadi. The hearing of, music, very sweet music, And he also put adi over there, so that the parampara can continue. So now our time, the adi can be taken to, nice latest iPod. Or mobile phone, or nice other you know, our the latest attractive gadgets or any other things. So the Bhagavatam gives scope for, you know, extending that understanding further and further. And Acharyas also, they extend that understanding according to time, place, circumstances. And Prabhupada purport, if we see, he speaks about, you know, all kind of the modern attractions, you know. So the other things are not at all attractive to Yudhishthira Maharaj because he is attracted to Mukunda. So Srila Prabhupada writes beautiful purport that there are two things in this world which can satisfy living beings. When one is materially engrossed, he is satisfied only by sense gratification. But when one is liberated from conditions of material modes, he is satisfied only by rendering loving service for the satisfaction of the Lord. So Prabhupada, some very revolutionary purport is writing here. I mean, revolutionary understanding. All his purports are revolutionary. He says that the whole material world is full of hungry living beings. And the hunger is not for good food, shelter and sense gratification. You know, if you say these things, you know, during COVID time, the hunger is not for good food, you know. But Prabhupada said the hunger is for a spiritual atmosphere, you know, which is very revolutionary. All the leaders of the society are working hard to provide some good atmosphere for people to live a very comfortable life, nice food to eat, you know. And the whole Western countries are, you know, geared towards these things, that we should lead a very happy and comfortable life here. But Prabhupada says that hunger is not for good food, shelter or sense gratification, but it is for spiritual atmosphere. And Prabhupada gives a logical reason for this. The reason what he says is that the foolish leaders cannot see that even the people who are most sumptuously materially satisfied are still hungry. And what is their hunger or poverty? So you see in Mumbai and cities like this, here we can see, I went to one program in Dharavi. Just next to the railway track, small houses, like, you know, matchboxes. Small house, people are living there. And from that house, we have a program in Dharavi, or Shambhunath Prabhu's house. From their window, we can see in front of you across the railway track, huge skyscrapers. So both scenes are in front of you. People are living on the top of the building with opulent houses, so-called opulent houses. People are living here next to the track. You know, the rats are going, you know, all this just next to the track. You know, especially rainy season, so difficult to see how they are living there. But here, when we give the class, some few devotees assemble over there, we can see the smile and happiness in these devotees' face who are living in a very simple house, you know, small place. But when you walk on the street, the people coming from the, you know, skyscraper, and, you know, their face, if you see such kind of miserable face they are having and such kind of anxiety. So here, so that means everybody, even if you give good food and opulent place to live, still people are not free from hunger. So what is their hunger they're looking for? They're looking for happiness, which is easily achieved by these devotees living in, you know, so to say, poverty-stricken life. So Srila Prabhupada identifying that the hunger is actually not for want of sufficient food or shelter or sense gratification, but hunger of spiritual atmosphere. That spiritual atmosphere is lacking. So that's why when the spiritual desires are taken care, the living entity become automatically happy. And Prabhupada gives a solution for that. How we can get the spiritual satisfaction? This can be obtained in the association of the Supreme Spirit, Lord Shri Krishna. And therefore, one who has them cannot be attracted by the so-called food, shelter, defense and sense gratification of the material world. Even they are relished by the denizens of heavenly planets. And Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 16th verse. So, Prabhupada is so convinced that the living entities can be satisfied only when they come in touch with Supreme Spirit. The Spirit, when it comes in touch with Supreme Spirit, then only they will be happy and satisfied. So because of this conviction, Srila Prabhupada went to the United States of America, which is considered to be like a heaven in earth, like a demigods there, who are all the opulences, but he understood their hunger. So what is the difference between Govardhas and Goswami? His Grace Pradyumna Prabhu Srila Prabhupada's dear disciple explained that Goswami or Godas. Godas means one who is influenced by his surrounding. And Goswami means one who can influence the surrounding. Is the difference, he said. So, here we are attracted by the conditioned soul, attracted by another conditioned soul who is enjoying the sense gratification and he thinks he will be happy. But a great soul is saying that this is not the object of enjoyment, rather I will give them the higher enjoyment. So Prabhupada went there not to get influenced by their opulences, so-called opulences, but you want to give them the higher taste. Why? Prabhupada is convinced, he is not only writing, but he is convinced and he is experiencing. What is the experience? The living entity can be only satisfied when they are associating with the Supreme Spirit. Then only they will be really satisfied. And here the example brought out, Yudhishthir Maharaj, even though he has all the opulences which are Kamaha Suras Parhaha, but he is not at all attracted to them. So if Yudhishthir Maharaj, who is having all the opulences which are even desired by the demigods, if he is not attracted to that, then he must be having something else. It's not that Yudhishthir Maharaj doesn't have a desire for gratifying his senses, but he has a higher taste. What is a higher taste? Mukunda Manaso Dujaha. He is occupied by Mukunda's association, Mukunda's thoughts, Mukunda's seva. That's why he is not at all attracted to them. So then, an intelligent person understands that means there is something higher above me, above these things are available to us. What is that which is attracted to Yudhishthir Maharaj? What is that is attractive to? Because Yudhishthir Maharaj is not in the renounced order. He is actually a king who has all the facilities to enjoy. When he enjoys, nobody is going to find fault with him. But still, if he is attracted to something other than this opulence, that means that must be something very special. And that special, what Yudhishthir Maharaj is enjoying, that's what Srila Prabhupada wants to give to his people who has received his mercy. And he is speaking that in the purport with full conviction that there is no dearth in the material world for any other things. But the real dearth is there, the spiritual atmosphere. And that spiritual atmosphere is very rare to get. So what is the atmosphere? That spiritual atmosphere is there, Prabhupada says, only when the living entity is in the state of immortality, Prabhupada writes in the purport, such hunger can be satisfied only when the living being is situated in immortality. So why immortality? Prabhupada says that because we are not this body, we are spirit soul. Looks like very simple thing, we heard hundreds of times. But conviction and understanding is so difficult to get. If sometimes we see that if we really understand this particular one statement that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, and how there is opportunity to be on the platform, we actually become faint in ecstasy to hear that itself, you know. Prabhupada quotes a particular shloka from Bhagavad Gita 8.16. And then what he quotes in that purport, he explained that in shloka number 8.3. Abrahma Bhavana Lokaha Punaravartin Arjuna. In that shloka, Prabhupada says that a person on the earth are elevated to higher planets. People on higher planets such as Brahmaloka, Chandraloka and Indraloka fall down to the earth. The practice of sacrifice called Panjagni Vidya recommended in the Chandogya Upanishad enables one to achieve Brahmaloka. Then he must return to earth. So Prabhupada speaks this. And this particular thing Prabhupada explains in the previous verse 8.3 where he says, that the Chandogya Upanishad describes the Vedic sacrificial process On the sacrificial altar, five kinds of offerings are made into five kinds of fire. And Prabhupada speaks this. The five kinds of fire are conceived as heavenly planets, clouds, the earth, man and women. And the five kinds of sacrificial offerings are the faith, enjoyer, moon, rain, grains and semen. What he is speaking all about it. If you really understand the fortune of we having received at least the process of bhakti, we will actually cannot fathom our fortune. At least theoretically we can try to understand that. Why Srila Prabhupada is convinced and why he wants to give so much of eagerness? Because he understood the rarity of this. He realized it. So he is speaking with so much of urgency. And Prabhupada quotes this particular purport here, in the purport he is quoting this verse. The living entity, why they are identifying with their body? You see through our general vyavahara means our talk also. When I say, a beautiful peacock, when I see a beautiful bird and say it's a beautiful peacock, what it conveys, the particular bird has beauty and the particular bird is also having the quality of being a peacock. So being a peacock and being beautiful is present in this particular bird. That's why we call them as a beautiful peacock. Or a handsome man. When a person is walking, he's a handsome man. Or a beautiful girl. So what denotes? That particular person, the two legs and two arms with the face, has the quality of being a man and being handsome. Both things are present in that particular man. Or a girl, beautiful girl. So being a girl and beautiful is present in this that particular woman in front of us. Similarly, we say, I am male, I am man, I am brahmachari, I am a king, I am a sannyasi. What does it mean? Being a sannyasi and being I am is present in me. So when you look at ourselves in the mirror, we say, I am a man, I am a female, I am a brahmachari. What does it mean? Being a brahmachari and being I am is present in the form which is seen in front of the mirror. So, when we say all this identification, beautiful peacock, ferocious lion, beautiful woman, and I am beautiful, I am brahmachari, I am grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, I am a king, what it refers that being me and being brahmachari is what my identity is. That's why we do all this vyavahar in life. Everybody is calling oneself so and so because they are identifying themselves with the body. That's why we say beautiful woman, beautiful man, he is an advocate or he is I am a leader of the society, brahmachari, so many other things. So this is ingrained from the beginning. As soon as child is taken birth, this is a boy, girl, all these vivahars goes on. So these things ingrain within us the identity crisis. Nobody identifying ourselves as I am spirit soul. So we got three stages. One is that pure spirit soul. Second stage is that we identifying ourselves with the material body. Third stage is that we identifying ourselves with the spiritual body. So these three stages, the most difficult stage is that we identifying ourselves with the material body because both go opposite each other. So matter and spirit, they are opposite, they are common. They are opposite as well as common also. So when this identity is there, unless one is comes out of the identity, he can understand that he is actually immortal. So Prabhupada said the solution, when a person can be happy only when he is free from this material designation, come to the point of immortality. And how this point of immortality can come? Only when it comes to the proper understanding that I am not this body. But all throughout millions and millions of lifetime, we are identifying ourselves with this body. That's how the whole vivahar goes. So in the Chandogya Upanishad, Prabhupada says that this kind of particular kind of sacrifice, this is a process of transmigration, he explains. A person performs yajna sacrifice, punyas in this material world. When a perfect person performs yajna punya, what happened? That pious credit takes him to heavenly planets. So Chandogya Upanishad speaks about the through the fire sacrifice, it speaks about the whole transmigration process. So first, in the human being, if he performs pious activity, that pious activity develops a fruit called piety, and that piety takes him to the heaven. So the acharyas explain that itself is a sacrifice happening there. In the fire we put ghee, and because of that what happens? A fruit develops. What is the fruit? The person who is performing the sacrifice gets a fruit called piety. And now the piety is itself is offering. He is doing the sacrifice with the faith, punya. That faith is an offering. The jiva with the faith is given as an offering in the sacrifice by the demigods in the fire of heaven. So the jiva is descending to the heaven. Why? Because he performed the sacrifice and he offered all his hard-earned ingredients such as ghee and other things in the fire with the faith. And because he done that, that faithful jiva is taken as an offering and offered in the fire called heaven. And there in the heaven, when he is offering it, then whenever you perform yajna, there is some fruit comes. So here you put grain, swaha, in the fire. You got the fruit. What is it? Piety is the fruit. And now the jiva is offered in the fire called heaven. And there is a fruit developed. What is the fruit? He becomes enjoyer in the moon and swarga planetary system. He becomes enjoyer there. And he becomes a king, enjoys all nice opulences. He thinks he is a demigod. He is a great opulent person. But then another sacrifice happens. That heavenly enjoyer is taken as another offering and is being offered in another fire. Which fire? The fire is called cloud. When the pious credits are finished, that jiva with jiva who is now the enjoyer in the moon planetary system, he is offered in another fire called, in sacrifice in a fire called cloud. So in the cloud he is offered. So this is another yajna going on. Your pious activities are finished. Come, my dear jiva, time is over now. Go to the cloud. So he is offered in the cloud as a fire. And the fire called the cloud. And the ghee is not, the yajna we offer ghee in the fire. The ghee is what now? The ghee is the living entity himself from the heaven is offered over there. So when yajna takes place, what happened? The rest is a fruit has to develop. What is a fruit? That person takes a form of rain. And now the rain is a fruit. So jiva is in the form of a rain. And then the sacrifice continues. And then the rain is offered in another sacrifice. What is the fire now? The fire is called the earth. In the fire of earth, the rain is offered in oblation by the higher arrangement. Then, when the rain is poured in the earthly planetary system, in the sacrifice from the earth, what happens? If you perform sacrifice, there has to be some benefit has to come. There has to be some fruit has to develop. What is the fruit developed? When the rain falls on the earth, the fire of earth, then what happened? The fruit is that grains comes. Now the jiva gets the benefit of taking the form of a grain. So that is a fruit. When the jiva enters in the grain as a fruit of the sacrifice continues. The grain jiva in the form of a grain is offered in another sacrifice. Now which is the yajna kunda, homa kunda is, the fire is the male's body. In the male's body, swaha enters what? The grain enters. We eat, the man eats the food and the grain enters into the man's body. And what is the fruit now? When you perform sacrifice, some fruit has to come, isn't it? Immediate fruit, we get all the smoke goes onto the air and tear comes and all the black shade comes in the body. But the real fruit is that the punya develops. So here what is the punya? What is the benefit a person gets? When he enters into the fire of human body, in the male's body, semen forms. So the living entity takes the form of the sperm and that is a fruit that happens in that sacrifice. Again the yajna sacrifice continues. Then the human, the male, perform the sacrifice of offering his semen into the body of a woman. Then that semen enters into the woman's garbha. Then the fruit develops. What is the fruit develops? The fruit is a human body. So, and the human being takes birth. What he does? He performs again, you know. If he is a pious person, he performs again yajna. What yajna he performs? Ganapati Homa, Sudarshana Homa, or some Chandrashtoma yajna he performs. When he performs yajna, fruit comes. What is the fruit? With faithful jiva, again taken back, put in a sacrifice. What is sacrifice? The fire is heaven. There he comes there. Again he becomes enjoyer. Again from there, what we discussed before, the cycle continues. The sacrifice goes on and on and on. And this is a vicious cycle. And Shine Punye Marti Lokam Vishanti. So this Panchagni Vidya, the sacrifice, Srila Prabhupada writes in just two lines. So the Chandogya Upanishad Prabhupada purport describes the Vedic sacrificial process. On the sacrificial altar, five kinds of offering are made into five kinds of fires. What are the fire? The heavenly planet, clouds, earth, man, women. So these are the fire Prabhupada speaks. What are the offerings? Faith. What is the faith? Faith in which a person performs yajna in the earthly planetary system. And that faithful jiva is the offering in the heaven. Second offering, second yajna is enjoyer of the moon. Third offering is the rain. Fourth offering is the grain. Fifth offering is a semen. So in this way, this sacrificial process described in Chandogya Upanishad, Prabhupada writes in a short cryptic word, sentence, this is called the vicious transmigration of birth cycle. And imagine, not that all the jivas undergo this transmigration. How many people in this world perform pious activity? And how many go to the heaven? And the heaven, when the jiva falls down as a cloud, in the cloud the mist forms. You know, mist means the water particle forms. And hundreds and thousands of water particles comes together, become one drop of water. And the cloud has to be together, and particular phenomenon has to take place, that it has to come as a rain. In the cloud become, you know, the wind comes, the cloud are dispersed. And the jiva in the cloud finish. They have to wait for when their turn will come. So millions and millions of jiva who gets into the cloud, few will take the form of the rain. And such millions and millions of comes down in the form of a rain. Jivas comes from the rain. And some rain are falling in the ocean, some are falling in the mountain, some are falling in so many. Few jivas falls in the fertile land. And those jivas takes, they become grain. And such grain appears, millions of times of grain appeared. And how many grains enter into the mouth of a male human being? Many grains are wasted. Some people throw the, you know, for the politician, throw the grain purposely in the ocean so that artificial famine should happen. Such way, in that way, some animals eat, some pigs eat, finished. And those jivas in the form of the grain, they have to wait, and then the life is finished. Again, go back into those kind of species. So I am, fortunately, few grains are eaten by the male. And that male digests that food, and those jivas enter into the male body. And that those millions of jivas who transform into semen, and such thousands of jivas enter into the human body, and thousands enter into the stri garbha, and thousand enter stri garbha, one or two maximum we get twins, maybe not cats and dogs produce, you know, 12 children, but one or two twins. Those few jivas, they come together and they become embryo, and that jiva takes birth. Are thousands and millions of such jivas who is born where, which aborigines, which community you are born, and such thousands and thousands millions of jiva, few will get in the association of devotees, and those few jivas, when they get associated with devotees, they take into the process of bhakti, by which they can even imagine to go, they get the chance to go to the life back to immortality. So just the Chandogya Upanishad Prabhupada quotes this particular way of how the transmigration takes place. The mind boggling. Such is a rarity. And the rarity is been offered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada freely to all the living entities. So, this is mind-boggling, isn't it? The mercy of just understanding that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. And then come to the platform that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee is very, 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 very rare. So such kind of a one rare personality, Vishthir Maharaj, that such opulence he got. But because he situated in his constitutional position as a spirit soul, his servant of Krishna, those opulences have not at all anything attracted towards him. So when we think about such kind of rarity of the spirit's devotional service, which is given freely to us, which is our birthright in one sense. So if something is external which is not belongs to us, if you are not able to get that, it's okay. But something which is so intimate to us, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabhunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Kare Udai. So that is something very close to us, but we lost it and loitering here and there in millions and millions of species of life for millions and millions of years. But when we get that opportunity to take to that devotional service, going back into the immortality, that is so rare. And that is what offered by Srila Prabhupada. And that is what offered by all the acharyas. So when a person understands the rarity of these things and understand the struggle the jivas undergoes for millions and millions of birth, that brings out the compassion. And that compassion pushes him that somehow or other, with all difficulties, I will give this rare opportunity and opulence to the living entity so that they will come to the constitutional position of the spirit soul, the servant of Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So, that particular happiness of serving Krishna is though intrinsic to the jiva, but now it is becoming a rare thing because of this false identification. But when a person gets back to this this treasure of Krishna's love, other things become insignificant, and his relationship with Krishna becomes very sweet. I'll just conclude with one pastime of Jagannath. I remember some time back I was told to give class in Mayapur, and that was this particular period when Jagannath comes from Rajapur to Mayapur. So there was a protocol that everybody who speaks during this time, they have to speak something about Jagannath. So when my turn came, I don't give any story or entertaining talk, like something dry class like this. So I forgot to speak about Jagannath. After the class is over, Jaraniyas called me. You spoke. It's okay. But why did you speak anything about Jagannath? That was a chastisement I got from him. So now Jagannath is there in Puri in Ratha Yatra. Just a few minutes more. And he comes back to... And few devotees, when Rajapur deities comes to Mayapur, or from Neelachal, Lord Jagannath comes to Sundarachala, the return yatra, some devotee, they don't go, you know. So, at least Jagannath Puri, many others are there, not only Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But in Mayapur temple, it's a big problem because devotees community, the devotees campus. From Rajapur, Jagannath came to Mayapur. Now he has to return back to Rajapur. So, many great devotees, it's the inverted quotation, they were thinking, we won't come there because we can't take back Jagannath from Vrindavan back to, you know, Puri. So he has already come to Mayapur from Rajapur, and we won't come to take the Rath Yatra, back Rath Yatra. So I was serving Prasad with Jaraniyas Prabhu, and he was telling me, did you hear about these things? This is what is going on in Mayapur. Some devotees are telling that they don't want to attend the return Rath Yatra because they are in Vrindavan mood. So he said, do you know, but what Kaviraj Goswami says? Kaviraj Goswami says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attended the return Rath Yatra the same way he attended, the same way he ecstatically danced in the Ratha Yatra, the same way he attended return Ratha Yatra. So he was just, you know, laughed and taking person. He said that our devotees are very advanced. They are, you know, they understand something more higher than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he said, okay, if you have this particular mood, you keep it with you. Why are you propagating this, you know? If Jagannath doesn't go back to Rajapur, then how will have a next Ratha Yatra? At least, Father, you should come and pull the Ratha. So, One devotee called Udayanacharya, he went to Puri and he is known for his great logical skills. When whole India was occupied by Buddhism, something like we say Pakistan is filled with Muslims, whole India was filled with Buddhists that time. So that time he fought, Udayanacharya and Kumarila Bhatta, these were the people who fought and practically reduced this Buddhist into nothing practically. These two of them, they did the major part of defeating the Buddhists from India. So the great souls. So he wrote a book called Atma Tattva Viveka, establishing the existence of soul and the existence of God. Because the Buddhists are atheistic people. So he heard about Lord Jagannath. So one day he came, he thought, I let me go and see Jagannath. So he came to Jagannath Puri. The time he came there, you know, in Jagannath temple, you know, things, how it goes on. The darshan shut. Door closed. And he could not take darshan. So now, Udayanacharya, he looked at Jagannath and he just chastised Jagannath. He said, Aishwarya Matabattosi, you are very, you know, you think you are very proud of your old opulences. Mava Avagya Vetchasi, you are trying to insult me that I come all the way to take darshan of you. You shut your door. You want to give me darshan? Upasthiteshu Bhaudeshu Madhadina Tavastitihi. The Buddhists are coming, by the way. They are coming here with all their, you know, logical brain. And they are going to say that you are not existing. They are Shunyavadi, they are atheistic people. You are not there. And when they come, all the kings will be bowing down to them. And your temple will be closed. Mind you, you won't be getting your next offering. And that time, who is going to save you? Udayanacharya have to come here. And with my logical understanding, my debate, I will drive all the Buddhists away. So think about these things before you keep closing your door. He spoke this verse. Next second, doors opened. Jagannath called him, please, please come, come. I'm sorry. So, when Udayanacharya, he had such kind of, he negotiated with Jagannath. So is it arrogance? No. This is a rasa he had, like virya rasa. That he spoke to Jagannath that if you don't open, give me darshan, you will have a tough time. You don't worry about me, but you will have a tough time. So these kinds of relationship with Krishna, just a story I mentioned, but the understanding is that people are fearful of God, because when you think about God, not only you have to just give your life one day, two day, Amma Janmani Janmanishware Bhavata Bhakti Rahit. We have to be servant of Krishna life after life after life. This is scary. People are scared of. But actually Krishna exhibits his loving personality that I am such a loving person that if you come and surrender to me, we don't have to be scared. You will be blissful. What is the bliss? Even a devotee can negotiate with Krishna. Brajabasis are playing with Krishna. And the devotees are, Prabhupada says, Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. So which is better, being a servant or being God? The servant of Krishna is even much better. So that way, being a servant of Krishna, understanding our constitutional position, is a rare gift which is not easily available, which is close, so close to us, but not easily available. So that opportunity we all got by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. So I beg from the devotees that this understanding knowledge may culminate, develop into realization. So for that I am begging from all of you. So with this few notes I will stop here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jagannath ki jai. Is there any comments, corrections? Already we are late, I think. Stop.